basic platform in Dham, the universe, Yata, ingredients, Sha, and Idam, cosmic manifestation, Yena, by whom Idam, this cosmic manifestation, Ya, he who, Idam, material world, Swayam, is himself, Ya, he who, Asmat, from the effect, Parasmat, from the cause, Cha, and Para, transcendental, Tam, him, Prapadye, surrender, Swayambhuvam, unto the Supreme Self-Sufficient. Translation, the Supreme Godhead is the supreme platform on which everything rests, the ingredient by which everything has been produced, and the person who has created and is the only cause of this cosmic manifestation. Nonetheless, he is different from the cause and the result. I surrender unto him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is self-sufficient in everything. Per part in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Maya tatam idam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina. I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but everything rests upon my energy, just as an earthen pot rests on the earth. The place where an earthen pot rests is also earth. Then again, an earthen pot is manufactured by a potter whose body is product of earth. The potter's wheel with which the pot is made is an expansion of earth, and the ingredients from which the pot are made are also earth. As confirmed in the Sruti mantra, Yatova imani bhutani jayanti yena jatani jivanti yat prayanti avi samvishanti. The original cause of everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and after being annihilated, everything enters into him. Thus, the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramchandra or Krishna, is the original cause of everything. Krishna, who is known as Govind, is the Supreme Controller. He has eternal blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. The Lord is the cause of for everything, and there is no cause for him. Sam Kalvidam Brahma. Vastani sarvabhutani nachaham teshva vastitaha. Although he is everything, his personality is different from the cosmic manifestation. Translation, the Supreme Godhead is the supreme platform on which everything rests, the ingredient by which everything has been produced, and the person who has created and is the only cause of this cosmic manifestation. Nonetheless, he is different from the cause and the result. I surrender unto him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is self-sufficient in everything. So in the previous verse, there was prayer in the sense of offering respects. Namo Bhagavate Tasmai. So this verse is another way of saying the same thing. Tam prapadye, I surrender to him, to the Supreme Lord, who is Swayambhuva. That literally means whose birth is, existence is by himself. He has no birth from someone else. Sometimes Brahma is called Swayambhuva because he has no father or mother. He comes out of a lotus. But actually he comes from the Supreme Lord. He's dependent on the Supreme Lord. The Lord is Swayambhuva because he doesn't come from anywhere. He hasn't got a material body at all. He is eternal and eternally manifest. And there is no production of a body or anything for him. So he is self-supporting or independent. That is the meaning of Swayambhuva, like Swayamjyoti. Here Gajendra says, I surrender unto him. So this is another type of prayer. In the previous verse, Gajendra was describing the Lord as Bhagavan and Paramatma, etc. How he has functions in the spiritual world and as the creator of the material world. This verse is more or less an expansion of that in the sense that it describes how everything is related to the Supreme Lord in all ways. In Sanskrit, they have different grammatical cases which express different possible relationships between things. So, for instance, we have one case which is called the locative case, and that means in something or at a place. He plays in Vrindavan. So in Vrindavan is put in locative case with a particular ending. So that's inside, which is expressed here by Yasmin. But in this case, everything is in him. Everything is located in the Lord. Yasmin idam. The universe idam is in that Lord. I surrender to the Lord within whom the universe exists. Yeah? So that is one type of relationship in something. So everything is in the Lord. Another case is from. It's called the ablative case. Krishna, from Krishna. It can express things, different types of relationships. He runs away from Krishna, for instance. Or it comes from Krishna. The universe arises from Krishna. That's ablative case, yataha. Or because of, as a cause. So that's just a yata here. From whom, or because of whom, this universe arises. Another is the instrumental case, by somebody. So we say, the flower garland was made by Krishna. That's called the instrumental case, Krishnena. Or Vasudevena, or whatever. So that is expressed by Yena in this verse. By him, this universe is produced. Then we have a relationship, the subject. So-and-so is that. Krishna is great. Krishna is blue. That's the nominative case, the subject of a sentence. So then here we have ya. He, or who. I surrender to Krishna, who is the universe. Identity. Krishna is the universe. So, these are some of the cases, not all the cases. We have another one called the dative case, unto whom. Everything goes to Krishna. We give everything to Krishna. That's a dative case. Of course, then we have another case, genitive case or possessive case, yasya, of Krishna. Everything belongs to Krishna. Anyway, we have several cases here represented. Sometimes we'll have all cases represented. Here we have 1, 2, 3, 4 cases represented. In this way, all possible relationships are represented by the Supreme Lord. Everything is in him, everything is by him, everything is from him, everything is unto him, everything is him, everything belongs to him. Okay. So that's a convenient way of putting the position of the Lord superior to everything else. Everything is somehow related to the Supreme Lord by every possible means. Of course, many of these terms will indicate that the Lord is the cause of everything, from him. Janma dasya yataha. Yataha again. From whom the world is produced and destroyed. Yataha. So cause is indicated. It comes out of him or from him or whatever like that. And by him again. It is made by him. So cause is one thing. And another is location, in him. Everything is within the Lord. Why? Because he is bigger than everything else. He contains everything. He is all-pervading. So he pervades the whole universe. Everything must be in him. This, of course, is illustrated by universal form. Everything is part of the body of the Lord. It's in him. in when Mother Yasoda looked in Krishna's mouth and she saw everything. The universe was inside Krishna. Not difficult because he pervades everywhere. All the universes reside in Mahavishnu. And then they come out of Mahavishnu. So, he is bigger than all the universes and they can fit inside him. So it indicates his all-pervading nature, his size and whatever. He contains everything because he is the greatest. Then we have relationships. He is the universe. This is a little problematic in one sense because if the Lord is the universe, that means the Lord is material. Because the material world is material. It's unconscious. It's matter. And the Lord is not. So how can we equate Supreme Lord with the world? One, as we say, there is no world. Idam means the Lord is the Lord only, and there is no material world. That is Mayavad philosophy. World is illusion. So Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma, everything is Brahman, means only the Lord exists. Nothing else exists. He is everything. The other way of saying it is, yes, the Lord is everything. The Lord is the spiritual world. The Lord is the material world. But material world is a little contradictory because it is material. Yes, we'll have statements like that in Scripture. The Lord is everything. Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. Brahman is everything, including the material world, if we accept the material world as real. So what does it mean? How is it possible? So there are several ways of saying that. One is, it is indirect expression. The Lord is not identical with the material world, but it depends on him. So therefore, in that sense, he is the world. Everything is ultimately dependent on him. As we may identify the king with the country, the Lord is the country because he controls the country. And if he controls absolutely, then we'll say, yes, he is the country because everything in the country only operates by his order. So in that sense, we can say it's indirect identity. The Lord is the universe only in the sense that he is controlling it. Well, that is the way that Madhva will take these statements. The other way, of course, saying the Lord is the universe in that the Lord, the universe is the body of the Lord. And the Lord is the Paramatma within the body. So we say, I am the body. So therefore, we can say, Lord is the universe. Paramatma is the universe because he is the indwelling spirit of the universe. This is Madhva's, or Ramanuja's way of saying it, Shishadvaita. Universe is like the body of the Lord and therefore identical with him, and just as the body and the soul operate intimately together. The other way of saying is, yes, it is identical and simultaneously not identical. The Lord is the universe, not the universe. That is a Chintabheda Vaid philosophy. He is the universe and not the universe because he has a Chintya Shakti or inconceivable power by which he can simultaneously be and not be the universe. In this way, though he is the universe, simultaneously he isn't, so therefore he's not material. So there's different ways in which we can take this identity thing. Nevertheless, it is stated in Scripture to show the power of the Lord over everything, including the material world. So because of this idea that he is different and at the same time identical, we have this statement that he is superior to everything, to the material world. In spite of the fact that he is the world, he is also superior, para. In this sense, we have the idea of difference. So we have sameness, he is everything, ya idam. And we have difference, yap para, he is different. So that expresses this idea of beta bait, or identity and difference. Though those ideas are contrary, the Lord is the universe and the Lord isn't the universe because he's superior to it, how can we make both statements? Because of the Achintya Shakti of the Lord. He can be in both states simultaneously by his power. So, because the Lord is everything and is also beyond everything, and is the cause of everything, and everything is in him, and he is completely independent of everything else, he becomes the object of surrender. So surrender means that one approaches and then admits one's insignificant position before the Lord. Sometimes surrender means we give everything to the Supreme Lord. Why? Because we don't own anything. Nothing is ours. So one type of surrender is we offer body, mind, words, atma, to the Supreme Lord. We have a body, we offer that to the Lord. We have a mind, we offer that to the Lord. We have words, we offer that to the Lord. We have our atma, we offer that to the Lord. So that is one definition of surrender. I surrender unto him. Of course, in the scriptures, we have sometimes a more elaborate description of surrender, which is sometimes called prapatti or sharanapatti, sharanam, sharanagati, etc., in which there are six qualities mentioned there. One of which is atmanivedana, offering the self to the Lord, which can mean offering body, mind, word, soul to the Lord. So we sometimes take that as the principal element. And then we have the other elements, such as dainya, or feeling oneself very insignificant before the Lord. We have accepting what is favorable for that surrender. Whatever conditions or objects are there which are favorable, we accept. And whatever is unfavorable, we reject. So everything is coordinated with surrender. If we surrender, it means everything is surrendered. So everything which is favorable, we accept to aid us in surrender. Everything which is unfavorable, we reject because it is obstacle to surrender. So those are two items also. And then we have the mental attitude that we take the Lord as the master. I am the servant. He is superior. I am inferior. So surrender automatically implies that. The Lord is a protector. If he is the master, then we depend on him for our protection. We cannot do anything ourselves. We are insignificant to do anything. So the Lord is the protector of the devotee. So these are aspects of that surrender. I surrender to the Supreme Lord. So that, again, is recognition of the position of the Supreme Lord and one's own relationship, which is ultimately bhakti. So, atmanivedana, or surrender, or sharanagati, is part of bhakti. These are angas of bhakti out of the 64 types of devotional service. We have atmanivedana as one of the elements, and we have sharanapati, surrender, is one of the elements. So, these themselves are types of bhakti. So that is indicated here where Gajendra says, I surrender to the Supreme Lord. So he is offering himself as atmanivedana. He is surrendering in the sense of sharanagati or sharanapati. So he, through his surrender, this type of bhakti, he is also expressing the reason. What is the reason? The Lord is in the higher position. He is in the supreme position. Others may be objects of surrender for ignorant people. One who is intelligent will surrender to the supreme person. So some people surrender to devatas. the intelligent people will surrender to the Supreme Lord. How do they know he's supreme and not the Devatas? Only by scripture. So therefore, Gajendra had scriptural knowledge previously, and therefore he could recite this prayer properly and not be speculative about who is supreme, etc. So, by the conclusion of scripture, he was able to recite this prayer. So he indicated who is supreme, and here we have a very correct analysis of scripture. The world is not false because it comes from him. It is produced by him, etc. We have a correct understanding of the scripture, not only reference to scripture, but correct understanding of the scripture. How do we get the correct understanding of scripture? Through the devotees of the Lord. So therefore, ultimately, in his previous lifetime, Gajendra had devotional association by which he got scriptures and the correct meaning of the scriptures. And therefore, now he was able to express his prayers properly. His impetus was mixed in the sense that he surrendered because he was suffering. Still, the prayers that he offers are absolutely correct. He has no misunderstanding of the position of the Supreme Lord, etc. So his only contamination was this initial desire to surrender, caused by suffering, by being bitten by the crocodile. So in that sense, it was mixed. Sometimes mixed bhakti may have some mistaken philosophy. We don't understand very clearly the position of the Supreme Lord, or we may think that devatas are equal to the Lord, etc. This can also become aparad, second aparad. We think that the devatas and the Supreme Lord are equal. It's not that type of mixture in the bhakti. It's only the desire part of it. So at least the philosophical idea is clear with Gajendra, in spite of the fact that his desires were different. So this is preferable to a type of bhakti where we have misconceptions. Both are considered mixed or abhas, inferior types. But of the two, that with the misconceptions is considered worse. If there are misconceptions, there's obviously also going to be some wrong desires, unhealthy desires. If we have the correct philosophy, then it is much easier to get rid of these desires. So that is a higher type of mixture, where the desires are there, but the correct philosophy is there. So Gajendra had the correct philosophy, but some desire was there. But we see later on that also it was not so difficult to give up that desire. Therefore, we do have to start with a solid type of knowledge where we get the correct meaning of scripture. It's very, very necessary for spiritual advancement. And therefore, the association of devotees and reference to scripture is necessary. Yeah, when he was completely hopeless, then he decided to surrender. What can I do? I can no longer struggle. Yeah, but that's, in his emergency situation, at least he surrendered to the Supreme Lord and didn't try other things. So that's his credit, so to speak. And the Lord recognized it. But he could not be in this position unless he had actually done bhakti in his previous life. So, in other words, it didn't come from nowhere. His impetus to surrender was actually from previous devotional experience. Oh, he was calling for his son. That was no bhakti. But he got effect also. This is a higher one because he actually had some understanding of the Supreme Lord, and his prayers were directed to the Supreme Lord. So we don't call Ajamil's crying out for Narayan to be bhakti in the proper sense. This is actually bhakti, though it is mixed bhakti. And this is more powerful also. No, he doesn't call the name of the Lord. He offers prayers to the Lord. For the people who are completely ignorant, like Ajamil, it is impossible to utter prayers. How are they going to accidentally say a prayer to the Lord? It's not possible. Accidentally, they can say the name of the Lord. So that is the mercy for the most fallen persons. Yeah. Here is Gajendra. This is for Vishnu, actually. And the prayers, of course, are by and large praising his powers. The whole creation means whole material world. Idam. He is the material world and different from the material world. Spiritual world, he's also identical. His body is identical with himself, different at the same time. But mainly it implies material world because that's where it is achintya, because they're so contradictory. Spiritual world, of course, is all spiritual, so it doesn't matter so much. But material Buddha is completely achit, so that's a very big contradiction. You can do it, but it shouldn't do it all the time. Can, but it shouldn't be constant. So we see Draupadi asking for help. So it's not a fault. Devotees can ask for help, but it shouldn't be every day. Every day, then it becomes mixed bhakti, like this. This is a mixed bhakti where he's doing it and saying all his prayers, and intention is this. In one sense, because it was in this condition, he did it out of duress or whatever. It was mixed bhakti, but at the same time, it's not that he would continue to do this ever after. So in that sense, the mixed bhakti was not a continuous thing also in his case. Yeah, that is mixed bhakti. This is like this. He's praying to get out of his material situation. So that's what people do in the material world. At best, it is mixed bhakti. It may also be mixed with bad conceptions. People go to Balaji and pray. They may not think of him as Supreme Lord even. They may think of, oh, he's like Shiva and others as well, but I'll go to Vishnu because he's famous. Balaji because he's famous for giving. So I'll go to him and pray. So it is mixed. It may also be confused philosophy, etc. So that's not very high. Higher if we do know he is supreme, and still we're praying with a mixed desire for certain reasons. And better yet, we just pray to the Lord without any desires at all. That's called pure bhakti. Yeah, if he does or doesn't, in either way, the Lord knows. So it is said in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord carries what the devotee lacks and preserves what he has. So without asking, the Lord does everything for that devotee and makes arrangements.